You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, 2018 is upon us. New year, new us. Do you feel a year's worth wiser, like a new year's worth wiser?
I don't know if I feel a new year's worth wiser, Anthony, but I'm feeling pretty good. 2018, off to a solid start for Harrison Fagan. I look forward to seeing how it all crashes and burns.
Are you gonna start calling yourself, like referring to yourself as Harrison Fagan at all times?
Yes, Harrison is deciding to do that because Harrison thinks that people need to understand his name and put some respect on his name.
I do like I was waiting for this to happen, and it's already happened a few times anyway, but I feel like people look at us online as like the same entity.
I would say 90% of Twitter thinks that we are the same person.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Speaking of people thinking they're the same people, people have thought, like, the NBA has really acted as if Paul George is going to be a Laker. And seeing as the Lakers are getting ready to play the Thunder, I believe, this week, Paul George fielded some questions about how things went down in Indiana, how the trade went down, how it all turned out. He had some interesting stuff to say there. So that's going to lead the show. And then on the back end of it, as soon as that conversation is done and we get every morsel out of it, we are going to talk about how Lonzo Ball and Brooke Lopez coming back affects the Lakers. And obviously, it's going to make them a lot better. But I think there's some deeper reading into it that actually kind of links back to this Paul George stuff. It's kind of funny that it all played out the way it did today. So
okay, I guess you're gonna get really woke.
Super woke. No, super duper woke. As always, make sure you're following this Especially Woke show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Harrison writes at Lakers Nation. I write at Lakers Outsiders. Let's go ahead and get to this, though, Harrison. You have the quote in front of you because we are extremely professional and hashtag good at our hashtag content. What did Paul George have to say when asked about how things went down in Indiana?
Yes, it took over 300 shows, but you and I have finally figured out how to pull up a quote before deciding to talk about it. And so Paul George was asked about whether he regretted that word got out about his desire to play in Los Angeles. So the Trevor Lane transcribed this for Lakers Nation, but I have no regrets at all. All that was said was a destination I would have loved to go to. There wasn't a gun pointed to the head, hey, send me here. So good for Paul George to confirm that he did not literally threaten Larry Bird with a loaded weapon when he was trying to. So he was hell-bent on getting to Los Angeles, but not hell-bent on going to hell to get there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, continuing quote, I just stated somewhere I wanted to go play. You ask 87% of guys in the league if they would love to go back home and play for their city, play for their home. That's all that I stated, that I would love to go back home and play for my city. So obviously there's a lot of notable things in this quote. I think potentially the most notable thing is, first of all, that he felt necessary to say that he didn't point a gun at anyone. Second of all, 87% of guys in the league. That is very, very specific.
I want to know if he ran like a poll.
Paul George has polled this. Every player in the NBA has a group text going, and Paul George got a sample size, because 87%, that is not a number you just throw out there.
Yeah, I definitely think he went out and reached out about to all of his friends and agents. They all put their work in, and he came back with that number. If that is the case, then the West Coast is about to get super loaded.
Yeah, like, so, you know, there's a lot of players that grew up in Los Angeles.
I want to really quickly throw a quick note out there regarding the actual quote and how important it is to that people get the quote right. Right, because I've seen an iteration of the quote going around at saying that he would love to be a Laker. And like that's just journalistically unethical.
Yeah, no, Anthony, if you just cut all of the context out, he just said you could paraphrase and say Paul George quote love or Paul George would have quote loved end quote to be a Laker.
Yeah. I love how that all went down and how in different corners of the internet you had that taking place. But just to be 100% clear, I took it as he was referencing at the time he would have loved to be a Laker. That isn't referencing. He isn't talking about how he feels right now.
But isn't he a little bit – I mean, the fact that he went on the record and says this, I mean, he can't go on – he can't come out and say – yeah, I really want to play in LA. I really want to be a Laker. He just can't do that. And I don't know. This is definitely a breadcrumb. This to me reminds me a little bit of LeBron in that like 20. I think it was 2009, 2010 season. He was a free agent in 2010, I believe, and where he just relentlessly flirted with the Knicks and then just like left all their messages on red over the summer. Like that. This is kind of on par with that a little bit.
I guess. I don't really know. I mean, he was answering a question that was – the question mentioned the Lakers. In the question, they asked him, do you regret it getting out that you wanted to be a Laker at the time? And then the other thing too, and you and I talked about this in our message exchange before this, is that players, for whatever reason, they never admit to any kind of regret ever, right? I think if you were to give – Paul George, some truth serum.
We're gonna keep the joke that I made about that off the record.
probably a good idea. But if you were to ask Paul George with truth serum in his system, do you regret how things went down in Indiana? Would you have preferred that it looked like they just traded you without any kind of report about your unrest in the city that you were playing in and your preference to eventually make it to Los Angeles? Whether it's because it's the hometown city that he wants to be in or because he wants to be a Laker because that would help his personal brand, whatever it might be. I think if you really got him to sit down and answer 100% truthfully, I'm not calling him a liar, but I think he would probably say, yeah, I wish things went down a little differently. Because
he went back to Indiana
and he got booed. Like that couldn't have felt good.
Maybe in retrospect, he wishes that things would have went differently, but I actually kind of disagree because it was almost – I mean, I obviously can't confirm who Sam Amick's sources are or whatever on stuff, but it seemed pretty clear that that was his camp putting that out there.
Maybe.
That he was hell-bent on going to the Lakers.
I've heard a couple theories on that, and we're going to get to those theories here in a second, and they do make a little bit of sense, but – before we get to that, we are going to tell everybody once again, by the time everybody is listening to this, we are going to be getting ready for a Draft Wednesday throwdown between everybody who has joined those drafts. And by the way, those of you who have joined, thank you very much. They've been a lot of fun. Last week, I was not particularly thrilled about Victor Oladipo not playing. And I should have paid closer attention.
I can confirm based on Anthony's text messages that he was not thrilled about Victor Oladipo not playing.
Yeah, that speaking of Indiana, that rant bastard. But that it has been a lot of fun. It's enabled us to have interactions with listeners of the show and basketball fans out there all over the place that we would not have been able to have. So draft.com is a place to go. Harrison is going to send out a leak. I will retweet it with something snarky regarding the chances that we all take money from Harrison. It is an application that you can download from iTunes or from the Android App Store, wherever you find applications. If you just enter Draft, it's right there. It's a big, nice, clear, I guess, crescent would be how we would describe it. It's draft.com. If you don't feel like using it on your phone, I prefer to use draft.com on my computer personally, but it's right there. Harrison's going to send out the link. If you use the promo code for your first deposit, you get $3 back so that your the game that you play with Harrison and me is 100% free. Tell your friends about it too, by the way. I've already told friends about it. They love it. We do drafts for football over the last couple of weeks, seeing as season-long fantasy drafts have kind of ended and have winded down, with one of which ending with me being a champion. But draft.com to find the link that Harrison's going to send out there. Draft on all of your app stores. It's really a cool system, and it's the best day of all days. It's the two best days wrapped into one. It's championship week and the draft, and it all takes place over the course of 18 hours.
Yep, come play with us. It'll be fun today.
All right, so we were talking about Sam Amick and who his sources were. We don't need to get into that. That's kind of touchy. That's a touchy subject anyway. But I have heard a couple people from behind the scenes who have mentioned, like, nothing ever gets out of Indiana. It's one of those small market teams that keeps everything incredibly close to the vest. Magic strives for that kind of secrecy, despite telling
when
people
he's not admitting to whatever he's doing behind the scenes.
He's not telling people what he's about to do, he strives for that kind of secrecy. So if it obviously, why would Indiana leak that Paul George wanted to be a Laker, other than to drive up or some sentiment or some apologetic sentiment for the front office there? Oh, look at the bad situation that we're in. But I doubt that's what was going
Indiana
on.
Indiana doesn't have motivation to leak that. Yeah. I think, you know, who does, though, is Paul George's camp, that is trying to make it clear to other teams around the league, hey, don't trade for this guy. He will leave you.
You know who else has reason to leak that kind of thing is the Lakers.
Okay. All right. Connecting some dots here.
So yes, it could have very well have come from Paul George's camp, and if we take it as if it was only coming from Paul George's camp, then yeah, it would make sense, and his quote today would lead one to believe that he still would like to be a Laker, and that his only potential regret is that the Lakers didn't make a better offer to Indiana than OKC did. And look, I frankly, seeing as how Oladipo has played this year, I don't know if the Lakers could top that offer. But at the time, it was seen as a bad contract and a middling prospect in return for a perennial All-Star. And at the time, and seeing how things have played out now, if you could go back and do it again, Harrison, and Indiana asked for Julius Randle and, say, I don't know, Zubats or Nance or any of the lower tiered prospects that the Lakers have, would you pull the trigger on that one back at the time?
Yes. Because what's funny is, like, people call me a Randall hater now because I don't, like, go in the Lakers press conferences and tell Luke to go F himself for not playing him more. But, like, I was a Randall optimist for probably long. Like, I feel like a lot of the people that are mad at me now have given up on him when I was still saying, like, no, I think there's something there. And so going into the season, I was less high on him than I even am now. And I think he's the Lakers' best player right now. Mm-hmm. But you still do that deal because it looks very clear that Randall is out at the end of the year by the Lakers, the way the Lakers are handling this. So you're not really giving up anything there. You're actually, like, creating cap flexibility a little bit. And as far as, like, Zubats, like, you know, he's a great dude, like, promising young prospect, but he's not Paul George. And so, you know, and same thing with Nance. It's like, yeah, he's, like, a nice player. He'll help a contender at some point in his career. But, you know, you don't not give him up for Paul George. Even if you think there's a chance you can get him in free agency, you just go get him if that's the cost.
So if that's your stance retroactively back to last trade deadline, would you extend that to this trade deadline? Do you think the Lakers should get in on trade talks for Paul George this year?
Yeah, I don't think they will be, because I think Oklahoma City is too stubborn to give him up. But so I don't think there will be a ton of talks. And it sounds like they're starting to kind of kick it into gear anyway. But I would not anticipate the Lakers kind of getting in there and making that like making that move, just because I don't think the Oklahoma City is going to be willing to give him up. And like, can we just comment on, like, this is like the second small forward in a row, basically, like a star for OKC that wants to leave. Like, are they just like, are we sure that they have them drinking Gatorade and it's not Traitorade?
It might be Traitorade. It could also be Haterade because they hate it in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, just taking you guys behind the curtain, I had that joke queued up for a Harrison's hot take that just didn't like really come together today, but I wanted to recycle that one.
It could be, the nice thing about it is that it could be a double meaning thing, right? It could be like Traitorade is in trade me, or Traitorade is in I'm a traitor, therefore this is what I drink. Yeah. That's well done. That was a good job. It's too bad you didn't do your Harrison's hot take today. That would have been a good line.
It just wasn't very good. So I for all of your benefit, I decided to kill it.
My question, all right. I do have a question to kind of retort what you were talking about regarding OKC not wanting to trade Paul George this year compared to Indiana in the spot that they were in last year. We're going to take a quick break here, pay some bills, and I'm going to come back here and really rip into Harrison Fagan. So Harrison.
Harrison Fagan is nervous.
What's the difference here between OKC and Indiana in terms of their likelihood of keeping Paul George, the situation that they would be in after Paul George leaves? If anything, OKC is better set off than Indiana was if Paul George leaves and they get something in return via trade. They already have their superstar anyway. So what's the difference here?
Why do I think that OKC is not likely to trade him?
Yeah, whereas we already saw how it played out with Indiana, and a lot of people would have said they might similarly be stubborn, and it's reported that they were stubborn, that Indiana just flat out didn't want to send him to LA because that was what Paul George demanded, and they didn't want to appease him. So I guess I gotta respect
Bird is
the petty.
A spiteful MF-er.
Yeah, he definitely seems the type, but
yeah, for sure. But anyway, I think that there's a little bit of context here that is necessary for this, like, to understand why I think this. Paul George was just fed up in Indiana. Like, it was obvious, and he was done with that front office. He didn't trust them anymore. He didn't trust the ownership. I think that was pretty clear just by the reports that were coming out. And so I don't think that you have that in OKC. Whether or not he's 100% happy there is a different question, but I don't think that you have the years of bad blood, of you're asking me to play out of position, of you're not putting a good team around me type resentment that had built up in Indiana. So I think there's that will probably give OKC a little bit more confidence. And then there's the other thing of, like, they traded stuff to get this guy. They want, like, if he leaves, or if they trade him and they get, like, you know, like Randall and Nance and Zubats or something like that, is that team really, like, set up for title contention alongside Russell Westbrook? Like, I don't know. And so maybe in some ways, like, you're better off just letting him go. I don't know the answer to that, really. But I just think, and I also think, like, Oklahoma City, they just know that they're not going to get a player of Paul George's caliber in return. So even if you think you have a 50-50 chance, I think if you're Oklahoma City, you take that chance, because it's going to be pretty rare for you to get a chance at another guy like that, especially during Russell Westbrook's prime, because his contract is giant, and because people don't want to live in Oklahoma City, and you're not going to be bad enough to be drafting good players. So I think for all of those reasons, OKC is less likely to trade him.
Those feel like the last reason there, when you're talking about the likelihood of their enticing another free agent to get there.
The difference is that the Pacers knew 100% that Paul George was out the door. I don't think the Oklahoma City knows that.
But you're also the one telling me that this quote makes you feel more confident in him wanting to be a Laker. This to me felt like
it does. I still think there's my confidence is not the same as OKC's confidence. And I think that they probably feel like they have a decent chance to bring him back. And I think as long as they feel that way, then they're going to take it, because for them, it's worth the shot. I still feel like this quote again reinforced to me that Paul George, like, if you're putting, like, favorites on his destination for next summer, I would say probably the Lakers are the favorite. We've just heard enough stuff about his interest in wanting to play there. But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I'm wrong a lot.
I took this quote as because of the way OKC has been playing, and they have been significantly better over the last, I think it's like 15 games dating back to December 1st. They have been significantly better over this last stretch than they opened up the season. And there are some, especially based in OKC, who will say, well, yeah, these superstars needed to figure out a way to play together. There are others who are saying it could be a schedule quirk. It could be a flash in the pan. It could be all. I remember when the Lakers had Dwight Howard and Steve Nash, and they would have a stretch that made you think, all right, finally, this team is turning the corner. And then Nash's back would act up again, or Kobe would punch Dwight in the face, or they would take some super awkward training, some super awkward picture in the training room with D'Antoni sitting on a bench and Kobe and Dwight.
That was so forced. Oh my God.
That was sad. That was a sad. This show took a sad turn.
That was like honestly the low point in Lakers franchise was that photo.
Short That's second like, or close second is also the Stay Dwight posters.
Yeah, I still feel like the
or Stay Swag like also.
Like the not going to comment. The Dwight Kobe forced photo op with D'Antoni was like it was just three guys who just like thought that they were being so fun, like thought it was so funny what they were doing, and it just wasn't at all. And yeah, that's like probably the low point in Lakers franchise history.
That picture was the personification or the picturification of that dude who's at a karaoke bar who thinks he's legitimately good, and everybody else around him is just like, no, man, sit down.
No, it was like to me, it was like Kobe and Dwight and D'Antoni being like, "Hey, we understand memes and social media," and it was like the Steve Buscemi, like, "How do you do, fellow kids?" like photo. It was that.
Yeah, it's it wasn't.
This
good.
Was not something I expected to discuss at length today.
See, all right, so I to get back to the point I was making, I think this quote. Like, you don't give this quote unless you're confident in the current state of the situation that you're in, right? And this is probably the most confident guys on that OKC team have felt this season. They seem to have figured some stuff out. Russell Westbrook is dominating the ball. Paul George is the clear number two. Carmelo Anthony is the clear number three. And they're going forward as such. And it's really helped the brand of basketball that OKC is playing, and as such, if he's asked this question at a time where OKC is kind of floundering, yeah, geez, Ned Flandering,
man.
But if he's asked this question at a time when they're kind of floundering, then he probably gives some kind of look, man, I'm just focused on getting things right here kind of answer. Whereas I took this as things are good enough that I can risk giving a more honest quote.
Yeah, I suppose that's possible. Or he's just an honest guy and he was just honest about it. You know, we may not need to psychoanalyze. Like, it might just be the simplest answer is the true one. Like, he just gave the real answer.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything deeper than that.
I'm saying he's willing to be more real given the way things are going currently in OKC
The moral of the story is that maybe we shouldn't spend 25 minutes psychoanalyzing these guys, but you know, that's what we do here on Locked On Lakers.
Possibly. All right. Yes. We're going to move on. We're going to move on and talk about another, I guess this kind of affects it. I was going to make the point, or I'm going to make the point on how Brook Lopez and Lonzo Ball coming back helps the Lakers in their attempt to sway Paul George and sweep him off his feet eventually this summer or at the trade deadline, whatever. And we're going to get to that here in a second.
Wait, didn't we already take the second break?
I don't remember. I was just playing it safe. So we might have a third break for ads. We're just paying a couple extra bills. Why not?
Yeah, I'm not putting in the mid-roll for that. I'm just going to make you look dumb.
Looks like I'm in charge of the mid-roll. So as we are recording this, news went out today from the Lakers that both Lonzo Ball and Brook Lopez are both available to practice and are considered day-to-day for their next game, which is against OKC.
Tonight?
By the time everybody's listening to this, tonight. Usually, Luke Walton plays this out by saying that he needs to see a practice from these guys before he inserts them back into the lineup. My question to you, Harrison, is, are things dire enough around the Lakers, and have they been bad enough that Luke kind of says, actually, no, we really need these guys in the lineup, and puts them back in?
No, I don't think so. I think especially with, it seems like Lopez, they were extra careful with, just because he's a big man with a history of foot injuries. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, let's not like take any chances with this. There's no point. And so it's, I think they shut him down. It sounded like longer than he necessarily needed to be. I remember when I was there last week, Luke said that like there wasn't a whole lot, there hadn't been a whole lot of change in his status. And so I don't know, I guess maybe that's changed over the last few days. He started to make like a more rapid recovery, but Luke made it sound like he hadn't progressed like super far. But I guess maybe over the weekend, and like, you know, he didn't go on the road trip, so he got to rest up a bit. But and then Lonzo, I think there's zero chance they rush Lonzo back before they're 100% sure he's ready. I think that they just value him too much and want to be too careful with him. I actually think that this game tonight, there's a chance that we may see no Lonzo, no Brook, no Kuz, and that's going to be unwatchable.
I think that's how this plays out too, and that's the best course of action. The smartest course of action is to hold all these guys out. Like, it was asinine to me that Kuzma was limping around the court against Memphis and was matched up against Marc Gasol to finish that game. That was crazy to me.
Gasol, what?
Yeah, that in that Memphis game. Where,
oh, Memphis game. Okay, yeah. I thought you said Minnesota from last night.
No,
all the days are blending together for me now. I'm sorry.
We're 2 days into the new year, dude.
But we're like 900 days into the NBA season.
I guess. It does feel that way. But I think it was crazy to me that the Lakers would risk anything with Kyle Kuzma and his leg in that game. They should not follow a similar course of action here. Make sure he's 100%. Make sure Lonzo Ball is 100%. Make sure Brook Lopez is okay. And give a couple podcast hosts a night off. You made us work.
Yeah, exactly. That too. And also, like, I've been banging this. I'm not to say I told you so, but the Lakers playoff dream is dead. It's buried. It's been like murdered, dug up, and then resurrected, and then decapitated again, and reburied. And like, it's over. They are not making the playoffs. Don't risk Lonzo. Don't risk Kuzma's future. Like, just, if they're hurt, sit them down, play Tyler Ennis and his t-shirt, and, you know, like, let it roll.
Yeah, I would just tell, don't even televise the game. Just tell everybody, take the night off. We're going to play a game. It's probably not going to go very well. We're just going to act as if it didn't happen. And then the following game, get Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, and Brook Lopez back onto the court in 100% healthy without any kind of risk that you don't need to make. The point that I was going to get back to tie everything back to what we were talking about in the first couple segments regarding Paul George is that, look, at the end of the day, a lot has been, especially over the last week or so, a lot has been made about KCP and his role with the Lakers having to do with Rich Paul and appeasing him and trying to make any kind of last-ditch effort to convince Rich Paul to maybe push LeBron James out in this direction because they gave KCP a couple extra shots per night. That, to me, sounds crazy, unless I just completely don't understand how the stuff behind the scene works.
No, man, totally, totally valid plan.
Yeah, but getting Brook Lopez, getting Lonzo Ball, making sure Kyle Kuzma is healthy, like, at the end of the day, this, the number one thing that's going to get Paul George's attention, LeBron James's attention, is actual on-court progress. And as we've seen, without Lonzo Ball, this team is unwatchable. Without Brook Lopez, the defense has fallen off of a cliff. Without Kyle Kuzma, I would imagine the offense would take a serious hit. So it's absolutely critical that these guys get healthy, that they remain healthy, and that they continue to make the impact that they're capable of making, because far beyond KCP's minutes or the treatment of Julius Randle or any kind of plea made to agents, what's going to matter long term is going to be the progress of this organization on the court and off of it. And if a superstar is out there seeing, hey, you guys are risking minutes with guys who you probably shouldn't risk minutes with, that probably is not going to be a great look either. So just get these guys.
Especially help. A superstar like LeBron, who is very much interested in milking his career for all it's worth.
Yes. I think that makes it a little bit more pejorative than I would have gone with, but that works.
No. I mean, I don't mean it like that. He's just getting older in age. Like, he's not going to want to go to a team where they're like, oh no, just like play 40 minutes like on a broken leg. It's chill.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not. All right. So I'm sorry. I just got kind of thrown off because apparently our leader is playing nuclear chicken. This is fun.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. This is awesome.
Yeah, cool. We're all going to die. Awesome. Yeah. Anyway.
F*** it, Lakers. Play all of everybody.
Come on,
we're only going to be...
Anthony.
Anywho, we're gonna call it a night here. But make sure that by the time everybody is listening to this, Harrison will have a link up to a draft.com draft. It'll be for $3. And you can get those $3 back so you can win upwards of $10 without risking anything. That's the kind of gambling everybody should be going after. That's on draft.com and on the draft application. Make sure you guys
I mean, if you're listening to this in the middle of the night, it may not be up yet. It'll be up Wednesday morning. I will tweet it out. I also wanted to say really quickly before we go, if you don't mind, Anthony, just real quick, that I wanted to thank everybody who has over the last couple of days like supported me on Venmo and Patreon. That was like in my pinned tweet. That was really cool. And I appreciate all you guys. I also wanted to give a special shout out to @NBAThinkPieces. Because he said that our podcast was excellent, and he even mentioned you, Anthony. So I think that we should give him a shout out. And he said that it helped him kind of get through school and graduate magna cum laude. So that's actually like really cool.
Well, there you go. Way to go.
Yeah, so
turns out his at is actually pertinent, right?
Yeah.
If he's,
well,
if
I mean, other than, I don't know why if you were interested in think pieces, somebody would follow you, but I guess that must just be like so that he fully understands everything that I'm saying.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. He might just be a fan of giraffes.
Maybe. Big giraffe fan. All right. Yeah, that's fine. I'll take it.
A giraffe writing a think piece. Where's Master Red Snapper? He needs to get on that right now. All right. That'll do it for this episode. As always, follow the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Harrison is @HMFagan. I am @AnthonyIrwinLA. And we'll talk to you mañana.